Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
And welcome, fellow foodies, to another exciting Saturday afternoon. In fact, you have tuned in to the most delicious hour on radio, as you do every Saturday at 4 o'clock, right here on AM 790 KNST. Now, we are broadcasting to you live from one of my all-time favorite destinations for memorable culinary and cocktail encounters. Yes, you heard me right. We are broadcasting live from the PY Steakhouse at Casino del Sol Resort and Spa. We are having more fun under the sun, more fun than humans should be allowed to have. And we just started a four-star happy hour here at PY Steakhouse. Half off all whiskeys, half off signature cocktails and select wines. And our good friend Aaron DeFeo here has rolled out the red carpet like he does every time we come out to the PY Steakhouse. And you can just let all of your troubles melt away. Come on out here and join us for this delicious broadcast. I am so glad that you have tuned in. I want to see you in person and lift a glass and celebrate wonderful culinary and cocktail encounters right here at the PY Steakhouse. Well, we have got a great show today because we're going to be unpacking the world of single malts. We're going to be exploring the sex appeal of scotch. It's the spirit that we've given, I think, altogether a little less time to on this show. And when we scan the landscape of celebrity co-hosts, when we're going to be doing a show about scotch, we cannot do it justice without the man of the hour. He is a scotch sophisticate, an agent extraordinaire with American Family Insurance, my good friend Tom Wadland. Tom, how are you? Say, all right, say that again, because I couldn't hear you.
Welcome, Matt. I'm doing really good.
Well, you look good. I mean, you look like you just flew in from Scotland. You got your Oban shirt on. You got your Scottish cap on. You're ready to drink some scotch.
Scotch. I'm ready to go.
So a lot of people on this show, Tom, have heard me tell my Tom Wadland story because, of course, I've been a bourbon guy. I've been a rye guy. You know, I love a great craft beer. I love a wonderful premium wine. Of all the spirits on the spectrum, scotch was the one that it took me a little bit longer to get to, and you had patience. You took me under your wing a couple of years ago, and you said, let me tell you the story about scotch. What is it about this particular spirit that has so fascinated you, Tom?
Well, you know, Matt, it's just like I'm like you, that it took me a long time to get to scotch. I started out, my father was a baker, so I started out young in the restaurant business. After that, I went to college, and I worked at a very nice Midwestern steakhouse, dinner house, and I was happy enough that the boss there really liked German wines. Mm. So he got me started with German white wines, sweet wines. And then as I developed my palate, I kind of went to red wines, and then kind of went to vodkas, and then a little rum, and then I started with the bourbons. And then one day I had the first Scotch whiskey, and it's the only drink that makes me think as I drink it.
Oh, wow. So that's that secret right there. And when we say whiskey, we're going to settle the score right now, Tom Wadland. We are going to debunk the myth that there is supposed to be a letter E in whiskey. Now, I've been writing whiskey with an E for years, and you say, Matt, don't put the E when you're talking about scotch. So this is a classic spelling, then, without the E.
This is no E on the scotch whiskey, especially the single malts. They have no E's in it, and there are a few Americans. Tennessee is one of them that has whiskey spelled without an E, but if it's Scotch whiskey, there's no E in the spelling.
And one of the milestones on my journey, I think I called you on my cell phone from when I bought my first bottle of scotch. I started enjoying it and tasting down the line after I met you, but I actually remember buying my first bottle of scotch, and you said, well, what did you get? I said, well, I got a bottle of Macallan. And you said, okay, Matt, you don't buy a bottle of Macallan. You buy a bottle of
the Macallan.
The Macallan. So with scotch, there's just generations of stories that you have to pay homage to.
Well, those started back in the 1700s, early 1800s, and then they finally, you know, the government started taxing them, and they had to become legitimate, just kind of like Americans, that everyone was running wild, and then the tax man got involved and got the safe boxes so they could tax them, and then the family scotch-making farmhouses, if you will, went away, and they kind of weeded out and became, now there's probably 100 Scotch whiskey distilleries in Scotland.
My goodness. Yeah, we're going to be talking after our first commercial break with our very good friend Aaron DeFeo, the master mixologist out here at the Casino del Sol. He's going to be kind of breaking things down for us. The Highlands, the Lowlands, the Speyside, the Islay. Now, have you had a chance to get over to Scotland yourself and tour the mother country?
Been over to Scotland once and was lucky enough to go to the Oban. I got learned real quick it's not Oban, it's Oban. And then we took the ferry over from the mainland over to the Island of Arran and got to see the Isle of Arran distillery, which was very, very nice. Mm.
Now, when it comes to Scotch, I mean, you've got this sophisticated Scotch palate. You're a Scotch sophisticate, and I celebrate that. And when you're thinking about a Scotch, I guess it's almost like me and bourbon. Someone says, what's your favorite bourbon? Yeah. I don't know that I could actually identify a favorite bourbon because it all depends on time of year. It depends on my mood. It depends on my, you know, the company I'm with. Is the same hold true with at the Waddland House when it comes to Scotch?
Well, I think you develop some favorites that you kind of like. Not maybe a favorite, but a series of favorites. I kind of like the Highlands and the Highland Parks and the Northern Highlands, the Obans, the full heathery flavor that has a little smoke in it. Although, you know, when it comes down to the bottom line, it's still going to be the Islays that are going to be the ones that really are going to be the tops. And once you develop your palate to the smokiness of the Islays, that is the best in the world.
Now, when we think about smokiness, you know, peat is a word that we hear a lot about in Scotch. And you know, big-time peat, you talk about the peat bombs, like with the Lafroig and such. Is peat something that you use as sort of a measurement of Scotch, almost like you would, you know, a hop in an IPA or, you know, when
well,
you're talking
if you're talking about the ones that have the peat in them specifically, mainly the Islays and a few Highlands that have it and some traditional ones that have special batches. I like the Springbanks have some nice ones. But once you develop that peaty flavor, because the peatiness, it has all the characteristics of the ones that don't have the peat in it, and then you add the final peat, and it just, you have to, it's liquid and magic in a glass. Makes you think of what you're drinking. You're not drinking Scotch to get drunk.
Right.
That's not what you're doing.
Yeah, let's clearly make okay. that let's make that abundantly clear.
You're doing it for the enjoyment of your palate and to make you think and to enjoy and to spiritualize almost. These are products that are so natural. When they get them, they're just like three or four ingredients in a barrel for 10, 15 years, out of the barrel and into your palate, and you can actually see the parts of the barley and malts left in the good ones that haven't been cold filtered.
You know, we're going to be doing a little bit of a tasting with Aaron DeFeo when we come back from our first commercial break, but I want to remind all of our fellow foodie listeners, when you get a chance, go on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/onthemenulive, and I found a master distiller leading a four-minute instruction into the appropriate way to taste a Scotch. And like you said, Tom Waddland, I mean, we're not doing it really justice here because this is such a fast-paced show and this is such an action-packed show, but you want to take your time with a Scotch, so we're going to try to do it right here. But go to our Facebook page and watch the master conduct the tasting exercises and give yourself some time to begin to know Scotch, to begin to understand Scotch. And I tell you what, once you listen to Tom Waddland and Aaron DeFeo do their thing, you're going to be a convert just like I was. Anyway, Tom Waddland, our celebrity co-host for the full hour, our Scotch sophisticate of the hour, and also an agent with American Family Insurance. Pleasure having you on the show, and I can't wait to learn a little bit more about you as we conduct our tasting encounter.
Thank you, Matt.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, he's going to make his way over to the table. He's going to sit right down and he's going to tell a wonderful story about a Scotch program like none other that he has personally curated right here at the PY Steakhouse. You're listening to On the Menu Live on AM 790 KNST. Stick around. We'll be right back.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of a four-star happy hour here at the PY Steakhouse right on the grounds in the magnificent Casino del Sol Resort. We are having more fun under the sun than humans should be allowed to have, but we always rock it up to a whole other level. And we are here with our celebrity co-host for the full hour, an agent with American Family Insurance, and our Scotch sophisticate helping steer the ship for the hour, my good friend Tom Waddland. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, you're staring down tasting glasses of Scotch. Scotch. And I have to say, you're showing remarkable restraint because it's not easy to just take a look at this gorgeous tasting board that Aaron DeFeo has brought for us. But anyway, our listeners certainly need no introduction to our next guest. Every time he comes on the show, our numbers go through the roof, and we wanted to have it happen, so we came back again. Aaron DeFeo, what's going on, Doc?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, you know, we're thinking about really unpacking the world of Scotch, and I am so impressed with the Scotch menu that you guys have curated out here. You've got a really impressive Scotch selection. What does it take, before we sort of get into the different regions and characteristics of the single malt, what does it take to put together a kind of a Scotch program that is going to meet the expectations of the spectrum of palates that Tom Wadlin talked about?
Well, I think the very first step is kind of identifying what you want to be heavy in. I mean, there are so many Scotch whiskeys out there that you could buy, the different age statements. You have to have a really good selection, not only of different regions, but also some of the more, must-have marks, I guess. There's certain age statements of certain houses like the Macallan that you really have to have the length and breadth of their whole house kind of represented on your back bar. Otherwise, you know, true Scotch aficionados who come in aren't maybe going to take you as seriously as they might otherwise. And then you have to have some of those oddball, off-the-cuff, rare things that you can find. And it's very difficult when you're trying to start a whiskey program, because so many great whiskey programs have developed over years and years and years of releases. The limited release from 1989, and somebody picked that up, and somebody had it in stock, and they were able to continue it on. I mean, you go to some of these places like Whiskey Library in Portland, and they have an ungodly amount of whiskeys, and the way that they've done that, and the way a lot of these places have done it, is they've kind of curated this from all types of different sources. Out here, it's been a little more difficult. I'm very limited to what the distributors have on hand, but, you know, it's going through catalog after catalog, searching, being inquisitive, saying, hey, can I taste this? Can I try that? I mean, those are the steps that really go into it, and then you can kind of hone in on what you want to really offer to your customer.
Great. And then and of all the scotches in the world that you talked about, I mean, there's virtually countless scotches that are available. How many do you have here at the PY Steakhouse?
Right now we have, I think we have about 120 or so.
120 different Scotch whiskeys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Tom, do you just start at A and work your way down? Is that how you do? My goodness. I mean, and you're serving probably all of these on a regular clip.
I mean, there are some of the more expensive ones that don't go quite as quickly. I mean, I think, you know, it takes a really special type of consumer who wants to pay, you know, upwards of $100 for a pour. But I think that when you do, the people that do, I mean, I think we have a great value for our upper top tier whiskeys. I think that our pricing is very much lower and or in line with any place in town or in the state, really.
Exactly. One of the things I love about PY Steakhouse is you actually give your customers, your guests, the chance to sort of experience a spectrum of scotches in one particular genre. So you actually are doing Scotch flights out here, are you not?
We do Scotch flights. We have we try to do them not only regionally but also by flavor. So sometimes we'll have a flight that will have multiple scotches from the same region, but, you know, every scotch is different. And so some of them really magnify certain qualities, and we want to try to kind of have that, you know, that experience as the guest goes through the tasting board and say, ooh, I taste this. Oh, my goodness, this is radically different. It's from the same region. I mean, region means a lot in Scotch, but it doesn't mean everything, because so much of Scotch is blending, and so much of it is the care that the distillery takes in putting in making that product,
and then the
barrels is a huge thing, and we'll talk about that when we talk about Glenfiddich and some of these other ones that use very specific types of barrels, like sherry barrels. I mean, the use of sherry versus American oak, those are huge.
So we in this segment we have time to try one of these. We're going to work our way through four, twisting our arm, Aaron DeFeo.
Someone's got to do it.
We're here to serve. You know, we're givers, aren't we? Anyway, where do we start when you're thinking about our palates are fresh? We haven't polluted them with anything here. We just got here. Along the spectrum of scotches regionally, where should we begin our tasting today?
I think the first thing we want to try is the Lowland, which is the Auchentosh, and it's their classic malt. What's really interesting about this whiskey is that they triple distill it. And very few scotches are, and I think they may be the only one.
I think they are the only one
that triples distills, which is crazy. Every time you distill, you strip a little bit of flavor out. So this is a very light and delicate malt. I think Lowlands are, one, there's not very many Lowlands available, so this is one of the only ones you're going to see, especially commercially.
Four or five.
Interesting. Yeah. Is there a protocol for approaching the glass, getting your nose deep into the to get the bouquet of the nose?
I'm a deep sniffer.
You know, yeah, I think it kind of varies person to person. Some people like to put a couple drops of water into it. Mm-hmm. Myself, I'm not a huge fan of that at first. Yeah. I like to do it after I've tried the whiskey.
I agree. Taste it first and then decide what you want
to
do with it.
Gorgeous nose on there. I mean, just...
Yep. So we get a lot of... it's very light. There's some vanilla. There's some floral. I mean, the lowlands tend to be more floral and light. And thus they make really great mixing scotches. But as we discussed, there aren't very many of them, so you're kind of limited. This is the mixing scotch. If you were to, you know, they do a lot of stuff for the cocktail community across the nation, across the world, and they're really, really prestigious for those type of scotch cocktails.
A beautiful place to start the tasting. Tom, what do you think? This is a gorgeous lowland.
I've had this a number of times. It's a very good starter. I like the barley, the way the sweetness comes through. There's some lemon, some sherbet. You just taste it and try to figure out what you're tasting. A little spice in the background coming through.
And give yourself a chance to enjoy the flavor after it hits 10, 15, 20, even 30 seconds after that taste. Allow the flavors to sort of come alive. That's what's happening to me, and I'm even getting some different flavors as I'm sitting here now 60 seconds after it. But anyway, so we've tried the Lowlands Scotch. We're going to be making our way over to the Highlands, Spaceland, and Islay as well, doing this Scotch 101. And then we're going to be talking to our good friend Kevin Brady and Chef Eric Sabin about this show-stopping menu that they have here. What goes better with a great Scotch? A great steak, and PY Steakhouse is our destination of choice. Anyway, we're going to take another quick commercial break and thank another couple of valued sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to continue our tour of Scotland. Stick around. We'll be right back.
If you didn't know that Acacia has one of the best happy hours in the West, you've been missing out on a great experience. Our bar menu features a wide selection of shareable small plates, creative cocktails, extensive beer and wine, as well as daily specials every night of the week. Kick back, unwind, and join us at Acacia, where great food at great value is always on tap. Acacia, real food and cocktails. Visit us online at acaciatucson.com.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio, and it's only here on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness here in the lowlands of the PY Steakhouse at Casino del Sol Resort and Spa. We are broadcasting live from an amazing four-star happy hour, half-off whiskeys, half-off signature cocktails, and select wines here with my good friend Tom Wadland, our celebrity co-host, making our way through Scotch across the regions of Scotland, and we enjoyed this great lowlands, this Auchintosh, is that what we call it, Aaron?
Auchintosh,
just a lovely scotch. And now you're saying from there, where do we go, Aaron DeFeo?
We're actually going to go to Speyside, and we're going to go to Glenfiddich. And Glenfiddich is a really interesting scotch, and actually the Speyside region is kind of the predominant producing region of all the regions we're going to talk about. A lot of distilleries in Speyside operating. And Glenfiddich is one of the cool ones because it really, I think, exemplifies some of the cool fruit flavors that you get out of the Speyside malts. And this particular one is just a 12-year. I didn't go with something crazy, but it just got that such an unmistakable note of green apple.
And a completely profoundly different nose on this compared to the Lowland selection.
And some of it's from distillation, some of it is from where the barley is being grown, some of it's the technique, a lot of it's the aging. One thing that Glenfiddich does is they use a lot of sherry in their aging process, which sherry adds a little bit of nuttiness. It can add some fruit characteristics as well, and I think that's vastly different from distilleries that decide to age in American oak, where you get the big vanilla and the caramel kind of notes that sometimes I think
one part of your education on when you get to the Speyside is you should try to drink some sherry so you understand.
That's an excellent idea.
Great. Yeah, sherry absolutely. Tastes like when you taste it in a whiskey.
And now when you say using sherry, we're really just talking about aging in the cask.
In the cask barrels,
okay, beautiful.
It becomes harder and harder because people are not drinking as much sherry, so there's a great shortage of sherry barrels right now.
Yeah, there is a resurgence in using sherry, at least in cocktails, but that's a very slow resurgence. I mean, we're not talking about the heyday of, 40 years ago. We're talking about right now where most people at a bar, at a given bar at any time, have not had sherry within the last 2 to 3 years at least, if not more.
This is a gorgeous scotch.
I like the scotches. For me, it's not quite as full-bodied as the Auchintosh. Mm-hmm. and it's a little, the finish is not as long for me.
And so in Scotch, we're still talking about body. We're talking about finish. We're talking about nose. All of these classic tasting encounters that you have with other spirits really approach apply to a Scotch as well. And I'm also intrigued by sort of the different hues in these Scotches. Now, the darker Scotches, are we to assume a little bit longer time in the barrel, Aaron?
Yeah, for the most part. It also could depend on what they're aging in. Now, a lot of Scotches have started to remove themselves from putting age statements on the actual bottles. Hmm. Within the next few years, you'll see a lot more, like the Macallan, for instance, is going to be doing away with their age statements for a majority of their line, primarily because all of these houses are blending between different years, but the demand for Scotch, I mean, you have to project 10, 15, 20 years down the line on what you're going to lay
it's
down
very,
in the barrel.
Very high interest in Scotch now, especially in China.
Oh, yeah, the Asian markets
are crushing it.
They're
they want so much, and it's hard to keep up, and they need to make money, obviously, and it's very costly to age a Scotch 18, 21, 25 years.
Yes.
You also, hopefully this is not the question, but you lose the angel share. So every year as the cask mature, they're losing 2 to 3%, just evaporates through the barrel. So
wow.
They're lucky they're not aging in Kentucky, I'll tell you that. the climate difference is... you ate something for 18 years in Kentucky, you've got a little thimbleful on the end of it.
Yeah. Right. So we had this gorgeous Scotch from the Lowlands, a wonderful Scotch. Again, single malt Scotch we're talking about from Speyside. We've got two more Scotches to go. Aaron, where do we go next?
I think now we're going to jump over to the Highland.
To the Highland.
And
now, this is Tom Wadland said that as a rule, you know, he's sort of hangs out in the Highlands more often than any other region. I guess we're going to find out why that is right now. And now it's interesting. So Aaron just did a little cleanse of his glass, and he actually brought the glass up to his nose even after the cleansing water had left, just to make sure that there is no residual Scotch left from the last. Again, we want this to be a beautiful pour, a native pour, a brand new and fresh experience. So talk to us, Aaron DeFeo, about this gorgeous single malt from the Highlands.
Oh, we've got a Glenmorangie 18, which is you're talking about full body. This is going to give you some good body. This is going to give you some richness. I mean, Highlands and Speyside share a lot of the same characteristics, but Highland, you get a lot of those really rich flavors. I think that Glenmorangie's got a wonderful line. What they do and what they really specialize in best is they put out, their different barrel aging. They do certain ones. One of my favorite, which we're not tasting today, but actually is Agent Sauterne barrels, which
makes that whole bottle. That's a
the Nectar d'Or, which makes it just. I didn't put it on here because it doesn't typify
what
a Highland Scotch is.
We have about a half an hour left in the show, Aaron. There's
plenty
of time. I'm kidding.
The bar's right there. I can run right over there.
Something tells me we're not going to be leaving after the show is over because we want everybody to come join us. Now this, again, a beautiful, like you say, full-bodied. This is a beautiful mouthfeel on this particular
Scotch.
Nice
little orange flavor. Mm. I can smell oranges and heather.
The heather, you know, that's what I really wanted to get at with this is, it's chewy.
Lavenderish.
Just
gorgeous. A little cinnamon.
And after 18 years with this, you almost get a little bit of that almost Rancio character that you get when you drink cognac. You get a little bit of that funky,
sugary,
and again, 30 seconds in, it's telling a different story now. I'm getting more. You talked about this heather cinnamon even on a Scotch. I love these notes.
For me, I love Scotch as part of the evaluation is always going to be the finish. How long does it last? Or is it gone right away? Or like this one, it's not only is it lasting, but sometimes you get an intensification like, wow, that's really
strange. Well, intensification or it even changes a little bit and kind of
because
morphs.
As you know, your tongue has different spots of flavors, and it might hit one of those.
And I learned on the tasting segment on the YouTube channel that you want to keep the Scotch away from the tip of the tongue. Had either of you heard of that, or is that just sort of an urban legend? I mean, as much to the middle end of the palate as you can, but to avoid the tip area. I didn't understand. I wasn't asking questions, but does that make sense to you?
I think it's, in my spirit tasting, experience, generally you want to try to coat your entire palate,
and then you
also want to breathe in, breathe out, when we talk about,
open your mouth and take a big,
get some aeration in.
Exactly.
There. Yeah.
And continue to chew after the spirit has gone down.
And sometimes just leave the spirit in your mouth without opening your mouth for quite some time, and then open it, and you'll get an entirely different flavor than you just had previously.
Well, we are unfortunately coming to the end of our Scotch tasting, but somehow something tells me we're not drinking Scotch or done drinking Scotch for the evening, but the Islay. Am I pronouncing that right, Tom? The Isla.
I believe it's called Isla.
Isla. Yeah.
It's okay. a little bit more in the.
Okay, Isla. Okay, like pho instead of foe. Okay, I think you were the one that told me that, actually. Okay, so talk to us about this last scotch. We got about another minute and a half remaining.
All right, so the last scotch is the, this is the bomb. This is the one where you
the
get
bomb.
This is where you get the peat. You know, and this is an Isla scotch, Calilo, which has some really intensified flavors. And what you see in Isla scotch, you see that heavy peat smoke. You don't get the tire fire that you get with mezcal, but you also get a little bit of medicinal, a little some people say Band-Aids, but those are generally people who don't
like it. Dirty socks.
Yeah, dirty socks. Iodine is a big one that people say.
Seaweed.
But for me, what I love about these regional scotches, what I can almost smell and taste is almost the sea air. Like in some of these ones that are coastal, it's almost like a terroir experience where you're saying, man, I feel like I'm standing on a cliff right now with that water hitting the cliff.
You
feel that sea spray and and then of course you're drinking a big glass of
peat. The bonfire
in
burning a cliffside fire and
smell it.
Anyway, Aaron DeFeo, thank you so much for hanging with us. We're going to keep our conversation going with you when we bring Chef back on. But anyway, we have loved each and every minute of the Scotch tasting. We're going to take a quick Fox News break and thank a couple more sponsors. And we're going to be talking about Scotch and steaks when we return from our live broadcast from the PY Steakhouse at the Casino del Sol Resort and Spa. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of a beautiful four-star happy hour. Yes, we've got half-off whiskeys, half-off signature cocktails, select wines, and we are wrapping up our tour of Scotland with our cruise director himself, the master mixologist here at the Casino del Sol Resort, having more fun under the sun, Aaron DeFeo. Aaron, thank you so much for helping our listeners understand the promise, the potential that the single malt is, and how they can come out here to the PY Steakhouse at the Casino del Sol and choose from one of 100 and, what'd you say, 25?
Over 120 scotches.
120 scotches, and so we've only just begun the experience. We've tasted four. That means we've got 119 left
long
to go, Tom Laughlin. We got a long night.
Anyway,
before we begin to sort of transition over to the culinary side, because rock star chef Eric Saban is in the house tonight, and whenever we, again, get Eric on the show, our collective mouths just start to water. It's almost like a Pavlov's dog kind of a thing. But you, Aaron DeFeo, you guys have a special event going on here tomorrow at the Casino del Sol PY Steakhouse with mixology kind of as the backdrop. What's going on?
Well, actually, Chef Saban's involved in this, too. It's called Brunch and Bottles, and we're doing a four-course pre-fee menu with cocktail pairings and some really cool, creative food and drinks to go along with those, kind of non-traditional breakfast drinks. But I think we've really tried to create an experience that's a little different. It's not just mimosas and Bloody Marys. It's you know, a higher level of mixology. We've got some really great bartenders and mixologists coming down from Phoenix to help us out.
Oh,
plus
no
our
kidding.
Own Eric Harding behind the bars.
Eric's
doing
a hero.
Stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he made me my first Sazerac. I think he has the honor of making me my first Sazerac, and of course my life hasn't been the same since. Do people need to make reservations for this event?
Reservations are strongly recommended.
And
what's the best
way to do that?
The best way, I believe you can do it through Open Table, but you can also call the steakhouse as well.
Okay, Open Table, call the steakhouse right here at the PY Steakhouse tomorrow. Sounds like a creative and innovative experience. And, of course, doesn't surprise us because it's the Casino del Sol.
And it's only $45, four courses.
Does that include the cocktails?
It does.
How do you get away with that, Aaron?
I don't know.
Anyway, Aaron, thank you so much.
They'll stop us one day.
We're going to ask you to give your headset over to Chef Eric Saban, and I'm going to ask my good friend Kevin Brady to come on over here and join us because we've got a microphone and a headset for you. Now, this is live radio. We can't choreograph this any better. Because, they're showing up here on the scene.
What a segue.
And there it is, seamless as it always is. Let me once again introduce a man who, frankly, again, needs no introduction to our audience. Fellow foodies around the world know him as the man who keeps everything buzzing in such a beautiful way right here at the PY Steakhouse, the consummate host, my good friend Kevin Brady. Kevin, how's it going, man?
Matthew, welcome back.
Oh, my gosh.
It is so nice to have you back in the casino.
I mean, I say it's like the red carpet is rolled out for me, and you did it for me the first time before we even knew who we were. That's the experience that people get when they come to PY Steakhouse.
This is a truly beautiful location. This is an entertainment environment. My first foray into casinos. So
yeah.
It's exciting. It's having a great four-star venue here, a wonderful chef, and all being surrounded by this beautiful resort and the gaming. It just makes it wonderful.
And the way you sort of the surroundings, I mean, just the design of the space is so beautiful, because you've got this great lounge from which we're broadcasting now, you know, sort of opening right into the beautiful dining room. The gaming is just feet away, but it is done so not to sort of distract your dining experience, but it's right there. You just go spend money right after you're done and go make some money right after you're done.
It's an easy process. People love it.
It's an easy process. I tell you, we have we had an amazing scotch experience here with Aaron DeFeo, curating an amazing scotch program, 120 some odd scotches, and he says they're fairly well all rotated throughout because people know what they want and they dial them up here.
It's fantastic, and it doesn't just stop there. Aaron has created this wonderful program side by side with the culinary program here in PY. If you look at the wall behind the bar, we're trying to create another spot in there, the bourbon wall. And so we just got our Pappy Van Winkle collectibles in yesterday. So we're very excited.
We're done. We're leaving right now to that bar.
We're going to write commercials for the rest of the show. Okay, you can't just say a Pappy Van Winkle room and then move on from there, Kevin Brady. There's kind of an homage to Mr. Winkle, is there?
Oh, there is. And you know what? We do a lot of different bourbon brands here, but that when that comes in, when we get our allocation, people just... they're just loving it. It's a special day.
Beautiful. So you got this great event coming up tomorrow here that Aaron DeFeo talked about with these great different courses and some cocktails, bringing in mixologists not only from sort of around the neighborhood but also all different parts of the state. That's going to be a blast.
It's exciting. You know, Aaron's a very well-known person within the industry, and so to bring some of his friends in and combine it with Chef's wonderful menu, we're going to have a ball tomorrow. It's going to be a nice, mellow Sunday afternoon, and it's all going to come together real well. Chef's got a great menu for us.
And what a great segue here, because, you know, he sits down, and, you know, and he's just sort of has this kind of smile on his face, and, you know, he's never... I've seen him at the height of his busyness and his intensity there on the line, and he never loses his cool. Everything is always just done. There's a choreography back in the kitchen. He's built this wonderful team back there at the PY Steakhouse, and that, of course, he blushes every now and then, and that's what he's doing now. Anyway, Chef Eric Saven, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's nice to see you again, too.
Nice to see you, too. So take that microphone and just pull it right up to there you go.
Better?
So, there you go.
There we go.
What's on the menu tomorrow with this great event that Aaron talked to us about?
Well, we're trying to keep it light. It's difficult sometimes, but it's going to start off with some fresh fruit and some orange vanilla chantilly, pistachio brittle. Then we're going to move into some French toast, brioche French toast, which is dipped in creme anglaise. Mm. We're going to top that with some mesquite smoked pork belly. Oh. And then some bourbon blueberry maple syrup. And then we have a surf and turf. It's a play on Eggs Benedict. So one is going to have Canadian lobster, egg, hollandaise, and caviar. And the other one will have filet and béarnaise and some truffle on top. And then we're going to finish it off with a couple crepes.
Just gorgeous. Okay, so I love how
we try to keep it light, but it always ends up being a little over the top.
And I believe he used the word simple, just sort of a simple. Oh, this is another day at the office for Eric Saven. He's talking about creme anglaise and, you know, all these wonderful things and all these wonderful flavors coming together. Just gorgeous. And these cocktails custom paired with each encounter,
right,
really bringing out the best of both what's on the plate as well as what's in the glass.
Well, Aaron and I collectively, we get together every so often and we do these cocktail dinners. But he came to me and said, hey, how would you like to do a brunch? And I said, well, I'd like to go to one rather than do it. But and we were thinking about trying to go up maybe to Phoenix or get out of town and go to some modern cocktail brunch. But we just did it on our own. And so he's got his friends coming in, and it's going to be fun.
I would imagine before you write this menu and publish it online for all your guests to see, there's probably a little bit of R&D that goes along. Now, I am just going to say, as Tom and I said before, we're really here. It's all about service for us. We're givers. We're here to serve. So if you're ever looking for some, you know, two impartial people to be a part of the discovery,
yes,
about what kinds
we're
of...
in. Well, we're in.
We would be more than pleased to join you in that endeavor,
well,
Chef.
Most of that goes on after the shift at the PY bar where we're making up cocktails and talking about what we could put together. So
that's
you have to meet us then.
Talk a little bit about this great menu here. And one of the things I love is that it, you know, as the seasons change, there's all, you know, there's a freshening up of the menu. You're obviously using what's in season. You're showcasing some of the great things here that we find locally, as well as some standards that are must-haves, really, at kind of a gourmet steakhouse environment. But give our listeners a sense of how this whole PY steakhouse menu is built. I would imagine the sort of the center of the plate, the epicenter of the PY experience, is probably a gorgeous cut of beef.
Yeah, well, obviously, it's got to start with quality beef. And we've set a standard of what we think is excellence with our beef program, but we're going to step it up a little bit with our new menu that's coming out. We're going to showcase some small ranches and do some dry aging, as well as going to some better prime cuts, and it's really going to be nice. We've over the past couple of months, we've run a lot of these steaks as specials, and we've had a lot of good feedback on it, and so we're really excited about the new the beef program that we have, as well as we're changing some of our standards just to fit the seasons. The pork belly dish is going to have a little darker flavors with some sweet and sour cherries and a ancho chili date glaze.
Gorgeous.
So some of our standards will still be there, switched up a little bit, but I'm pretty excited about what we're going
to
do.
And I'm already beginning to think of the pork belly, a little bit darker of a flavor. What scotch would be sort of a great, we don't have time to sort of dig into this to give it justice, but I'm thinking about a different kind of scotch to go with a different sort of, now is it a disservice, Tom Wadlin, to pair a scotch with an actual dish? Is that a disservice to the single malt?
I don't think it's a disservice.
No, not at all.
Most people do not do it, but I don't see any reason why you shouldn't.
No, we welcome it.
And I love cooking with bourbon. So
yes.
On that as well, there's a bourbon and white balsamic glaze, and the bourbon gives a nice sweetness.
Beautiful.
And, I use it a lot.
The ratio with which he cooks to and has while he's working
is most impressive.
It's inspirational.
If you came into my office, it looks like a bar or a beverage, small warehouse in there, but it all goes into the food.
You guys did a bourbon dinner here, I think, last year, as I recall, and that was so much fun because it was a different bourbon cocktail. Again, cocktails curated by Aaron himself, paired together lovingly and intentionally with some of these other courses, and that was a show-stopping experience. And events here at PY Steakhouse, and even across property at Casino del Sol, events is really what people just love the events here, because you really give people kind of an intimate example, an intimate opportunity to get to know the food and to get to know the cocktails. Talk about some events that are happening up here.
You know, it's exciting because what happened was we wanted to showcase this bar. When we first opened, the bar was very busy, and then it kind of trickled off. And so I went to Aaron and I said, let's do two or three events a month. Let's go to some of these different purveyors that have different brands, and let's bring in some real fun things and just have some different dinners or just events in the lounge. And it's been, starting with this and a few other events, it's been a great success. So we'll do, like I said, different brands. We'll do Remy. We'll do a couple of cognac events, another bourbon event. And what we're going to do is probably mix that in with the upcoming holidays as well. Aaron's got a calendar, so we recommend that you get on to our website at CasinoDelSol.com. They're all listed there under the restaurants and the entertainment section. And like I said, those are changing quickly because we're trying to nail in as many concrete ones as we can that will be coming up probably at the end of the month and then throughout December.
Yeah, I mean, I've bookmarked, and this is just me, I've bookmarked the Casino del Sol website, and I just sort of, you know, every so often just sort of click on there to find out. You do refreshing it up. There's always something fun and creative out here, and I always say more fun under the sun. That's exactly what's happening out here. And there's always something new, something fresh, something fun, and you want to sort of get into the habit of reminding yourself what's going on out here, because I promise you, fellow foodies, this is the most sort of innovative culinary and cocktail experiences all coming together under one roof, and really it all comes down to the intention that you've created, and again, you guys have done it in spades. I just love everything you guys are about.
Thanks,
thank
Matt.
You, man.
So you have hoisted a cut of beef. Did you use a crane for that, chef, to drop that down on a landing pad here?
It's not that big, but it is a 18-ounce Double R Ranch, which is a new ranch we're using out of Okanagan, Washington, and it's a bone-in Kansas City strip steak.
Beautiful.
With a little black truffle butter melted over the top, and it's a special tonight.
This is the special tonight.
This is one of our specials tonight.
Okay. All right, I'm going in. Okay, look at that, Tom Wanlon.
Wow.
Okay, cooked to perfection. Again, this needs to be a TV show. Let's figure out how we can make that happen, because the visual nature of this encounter is something that is unsurpassed. Again, so you've done a beautiful turn on this. Talk about the butter again. A black?
It's black truffle, and it's also got black garlic in it. And then we whip butter, fold everything in, freeze it, slice a piece off, and melt it over the top just before we serve it.
The bite of steak is almost like butter in and of itself. You've added the truffle butter to sort of give it that little accentuation, that little richness, that little bit of fat. But just the steak itself, again, quality beef, as you said when you first came on, it's all about quality beef in the first place. And look at me talking with my mouth.
That's a very beautiful
You know, my
cut.
Mother said never
very
to do
beautiful
that.
Cut.
Beautiful cut, intentionally dressed. And this is an 18-ounce?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I think I could probably take that
down.
Yeah,
we can do that.
So the dry aging should give it a little bit of nuttiness. You can smell it as we're sitting here.
Should remind our listeners that Kevin Brady, Aaron DeFeo, and Chef Eric Sabin and their charity are going to be providing an opportunity for one of our listeners to come down to the PY Steakhouse on them. Yes, they're going to be giving away a free gift certificate to experience PY Steakhouse. If you're the first person to call in with the right answer to our trivia question, haven't really thought about what that might be, hopefully you guys have done your homework and you've come up with something fun. So we're going to be doing that here in just a couple of minutes. And one of the pleasures, the privileges of mine during the show is to be able to award this gift card, because sometimes it goes to someone who's never been to the restaurant before, and that's what we really like to celebrate. So talk about dry aging. Are you doing that? You're dry aging right here in-house?
No.
Or how does that?
We don't have that facility here
yet. I was
going
to say, that boggles my mind that you'd be able to do
that. We'd like to get to that point, but no, we have someone else dry age it for us. And the dry aging is a method of putting your whole cut of meat, so let's say the whole strip loin with the bone on it, into a temperature-controlled room. And what it does is it sucks the moisture out of the meat, which gives it a more intense beef flavor.
Right.
And in turn, gives it that nuttiness to it. Now, depending upon how long you leave it in the dry age room, it gives it more of that flavor. And it's kind of an acquired taste. But
I've acquired it.
Yeah, it's it's a beef connoisseur's taste. But we're just diving into the realm of putting that on our menu.
And truffle I think oil it's gonna is be very good on here, too.
It's just Thank gorgeous. You. It's just that wonderful kiss of truffle that is just, it's just a little surprise.
Truffle oil and scotch.
Yes! And see, and this is what we're talking about, guys. This is what we're talking about, these wonderful spontaneous moments where you enjoy a great scotch with a lovely sort of back end of truffle doing wonderful things in your mouth. This is just absolutely beautiful. So we're going to be doing our trivia question here in just a second, but in dry aging, is there kind of a maximum time that's left in the dry aging room before alarms start going off?
Yeah, I think you get up to about 45 days.
45 days.
The minimum is about 28 days.
Right.
So somewhere between 28 and 45 is, you got to pick how much of that nuttiness and that flavor you like.
Great.
Most people want it just about 28.
Right, 28 days. Well, you guys have nailed it here with this gorgeous 18-ounce cut. I'll take another one, please. I'm kidding. Anyway, so thought about what a fun trivia question would be to ask our listeners.
Yeah, Chef's been thinking about
Chef?
This.
Okay, I was thinking that if someone can tell us what the other name for a Kansas City strip steak is.
Great question.
See if somebody can answer it.
Okay, so the Kansas City strip is also, generally referred to something else.
Exactly.
Okay, we want to know, what is the other term for the Kansas City Strip? If you think you know the answer to the question, give us a call right now, 880-KNST. That's 880-5678 for a chance to win a PY Steakhouse gift certificate. Get your dialing fingers on, and good luck, fellow foodies, and we'll be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live, fellow foodies. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of another show-stopping four-star happy hour at the PY Steakhouse on the magnificent and stunning grounds of the Casino del Sol Resort, here with my celebrity co-host, who has a little bit of truffle butter lovingly dripping down. I'm kidding. Tom Wadland, always a pleasure having you sharing a scotch and a steak with you, sir.
What a perfect combination. A
lot of fun. We're here with Chef Eric Sabin and Kevin Brady here at the PY Steakhouse. Before we begin to take callers, I want to remind all of our friends that are good friends over at high-end at Metzger's Place. Metzger Family Restaurants, they actually have now rolled out gift certificates for you to use at all of the Metzger Family Restaurant concept. So all the people behind Poppy Kitchen up at the La Paloma, Gio Taco downtown on 4th and Congress, and the soon-to-be-open in just 2 weeks, Jackson Tavern right there on Fort Lowell and Swan and Plaza Palomino. You can buy one gift certificate good for all of the Metzger Family Restaurant concepts. And if starting Monday, if you buy $100 in gift cards, you're going to get $20 for free, which, again, you can use at all of the restaurants. So check out Poppy Kitchen at La Paloma and Gio Taco downtown 4th and Congress and soon-to-be-open Jackson Tavern Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowell and Swan. Anyway, we got a great question. Again, the trivia question of the week is, what is the other name for the Kansas City Strip? It's called different things. We want to know, what's the other sort of conventional term that people use for the Kansas City Strip? We got a full board of callers that think they know the answer to the question, Chef, and we're going to go to line one and see if Pat knows the answer. Pat, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Well, thanks. Thank you, Matt. I don't know, but I'm just going to take a guess. Is it a ribeye?
Okay. Pat says a ribeye.
I'm sorry, Pat.
Oh, no, Pat. Oh, but anyway, no. I love a good ribeye.
All right, thank you.
But it's not a Kansas City Strip.
We'd love to see you down here anyway.
Come on
though,
down
Pat,
anyway for an amazing ribeye. I will promise you that. 880-KNST, 880-5678. That opens up another line. We're going to go to line two and see if Catherine knows the answer to the question. Catherine, what is another name for this Kansas City Strip?
Hi, Matt. Once again, I'm just going to take a guess with this one, and I'm going to say it's a tri-tip.
A tri-tip, Catherine says. Chef?
Nope.
Oh, sorry. Catherine, sorry, no. Again. I mean, we always like a good tri-tip, but it's not a Kansas City Strip. Anyway, that opens up another line, 880-KNST, 880-5678, for a chance. I see Aaron DeFeo calling. Aaron, you're not eligible. Put your phone down.
Is he Googling?
Anyway, let's see if Bill on line three knows the answer to the question. Bill, how are you?
Okay. Flank steak?
Okay, flank steak, he says. Chef?
Nope.
Oh,
sorry, Bill.
Wow, we're 0-3, Bill.
I thought this was going to go right away.
Thanks so much for listening, and thanks so much for calling. That opens up a line at 880-KNST, 880-5678. What is another name for the Kansas City Strip? And we're going to see if Bob knows the answer to the question. Bob, how are you?
All right, good. Is it New York Strip loin?
A New York, he says. A strip loin.
There we go. It's a New York. Good job, Bob.
There it is, Bob.
The Kansas City just has a bone in it.
Okay.
It's a bone in New York State.
Good job, Bob.
Way to go, Bob. Listen, congratulations, Bob. Let me ask you this, sir. Have you ever been to the PY Steakhouse?
Have never. Never done it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you're going to love it, Bob.
You are in for a treat. Anyway, I want you to stay on the line, Bob, because Kat, back at the studio, is going to get all your information, and it is going to be Kevin Brady, his personal privilege, to send that gift card to you in the mail. And when you come in to experience PY Steakhouse, make sure you let him know that you're the one that heard him on the radio.
All right, you bet. Thanks.
Thanks so
much.
So, wow, I was thinking, Chef, that this was going to be the first caller.
I know, me too.
Okay, but...
I'm kind of glad it wasn't, though.
Here we are educating our listeners. So... The Kansas City Strip and the New York Strip, same cut.
Same cut. And after researching it, I believe it's just they're two big meatpacking towns, and both of them wanted to lay claim to the steak. So that's how it got its name. They wouldn't let it go. But it's typically the New York with the bone in it.
The New York with the bone. Now, are you more of a strip guy, ribeye guy, Tom Waddle?
My favorite's a ribeye, a well-marbled ribeye.
Yeah, yeah.
Me too.
Is there a particular steak here that you see more of coming out across the line than any of the others, or is it a pretty good even rotation of steaks?
By far the fillets.
By far the fillets.
But they're, you know, I think it's a safe way to go for people.
Yeah.
But for me and for more... connoisseurs and people who are really into the steakhouse, I think it's the ribeyes and the New Yorks.
Yeah, my wife is a big filet person, so we generally she'll do the filet, I'll do the ribeye, or I'll do the strip, and then she'll give me a couple of bites of hers, and then I will not share any of mine. But it really is all about me. As Kevin Brady says every time I come here, it's all about the guest. It's all about the experience. It's all about the customer. And what I love about this environment you've created, and we've done this more times, Kevin, than you can count, we come here, we have a great time gaming, we have a wonderful time dining, and then we stay. Because the rooms here are spectacular.
Well, you've got a brunch tomorrow, so you can stay, come to the brunch tomorrow, cocktail brunch. We've got everything here for you, Matt.
Now, are you still doing your artisan salt program here, Kevin?
Yes, we are. Chef has got three new features, and I'll let him take that.
Oh, talk to me about your salts.
Recently, we added a ripened tomato salt, a Vermont maple syrup salt, and a jalapeno salt. But we always have the truffle salt and smoked, like a alderwood smoked sea salt and lots of salts.
And your servers always do such a great job in terms of telling you what particular salt would match with what particular item on the menu. And I just love that level of service that, again, I think you've sort of defined here at the PY Steakhouse. And I mean that sincerely because we're treated like royalty every single time we come here. And when you can have a salt sommelier kind of explain to you the differences among the salts, I think that's something absolutely glorious. Anyway, Chef Eric Sabin, handling in a great culinary program here at PY Steakhouse. My hat is off to you.
Thank you.
And I think all of your guests want you to go back to work because we've stolen you away for long enough.
Yeah, we have a busy night.
Always a pleasure hanging out with
you.
Thanks so much, Chef. And Kevin Brady, host extraordinaire and sommelier, guiding us through a wonderful wine program, a wonderful dining experience. You're my brother, and I absolutely love you and everything you guys are about. And thank you so much for all you do in this community.
It's always a pleasure, Matt. Thank you so much.
Kevin Brady. And our celebrity co-host for the full hour, he's had a great time leading us through the world of scotch. Something tells me we're going to keep doing that long after this show is done. But anyway, from American Family Insurance, our scotch sophisticate, Tom Watson. Always fun hanging out with you as well.
Thanks, Matt. Great to see you again and come out to the see some sun.
Absolutely. You know, if you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be posted to our website on themenulive.com early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Tom Wadland reminding you if it is Saturday from 4 to 5, it is on The Menu Live. Cheers. Have a great weekend, fellow foodies, and we will see you at the PY Steakhouse. Hurry soon.